Open our lips, O Lord, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of Righteousness who has arisen with healing in his wings. He is our bright and morning star. Guided by his light, let us bring him our praises.
Christ has died.
Hear the word of the Lord from Matthew, second chapter. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and called together all the chief priests and scribes of the people. He inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly asked for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go to pay homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable to you. You are our strength, our rock, our redeemer. Amen. For centuries, the church has sanctified time by marking it according to the events in the life of Christ, the saving deeds of God in history. So I just couldn't resist, since yesterday was the Feast of the Epiphany, and we begin a sequence of Sundays in Epiphany, I couldn't resist coming back to these stories. We focus on three events in the life of Christ at the Epiphany. The first one, and the dominant one always, is the gifts of these Gentile magi who followed the star miraculously to where Christ was born and brought him gifts. The second is the baptism of the Lord, which we'll focus on a little bit tomorrow. And then the last one, his first miracle at Cana in Galilee. But today I want to talk about gifts that keep on giving. Gifts that keep on giving. And, Cousin Eddie really did get it wrong in Christmas Family Vacation. It's not the Jelly of the Month Club. Much more interesting gifts, much more lavish gifts that transcend history. Amazing that there actually was a registry of the specific three gifts that these magi brought to the Christ child. Think about them being important enough that it was actually recorded what they were, the tangible, physical things they were. And remember, our worship, while it is spiritual, ancient future worship, the worship of Israel and the worship of Christian people, always engages physical things to express worship. Always engages physical things. First, they brought him gold. You remember the words of the carol that we sing at Christmas time usually, although it's really an Epiphany hymn. Gold I bring to crown him again. You know, when we can't think of what to give someone for a gift, typically we give cash. Or in this era, we give a gift card. I wondered if maybe this particular member of the crew of Magi couldn't think of what to give, and so he gave cash. And then I decided, no, he wasn't just giving cash. He was giving the currency of kings. Gold was the currency of kings. Gold I bring to crown him again. How can we perpetuate that gift of the gold of the Magi to the Christ? How can we perpetuate that? When we take a moment and purposefully give of our time, which we've learned from economists is money, of our time, our talents, and out of our treasure, give something that costs us to another person, I believe we're perpetuating the gift of gold to the Christ child. Why? Because when we give to another person, we are giving to the sibling of a king. And Jesus said, "In as much as you've done it to the least member of my family, you have done it unto me." But how do we know when to give and what to give? We need to pray for discernment. First of all, we need to pray for eyes that can see that starlight. And I would pray that we could see it as vividly as Vincent van Gogh did, as vividly as the Magi did. When the star of righteousness, the star, the bright and morning star, the sun of righteousness, when he shines on someone near us, may we see that light and respond by giving. And giving something that will bless that other person. It will always be costly to us, but it is in that giving that we'll learn again that it's more blessed to give than receive. And it will perpetuate the giving of the currency of kings to the King of Kings when he was an infant. Another verse runs, "Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh." Worship. I learned a couple of years ago at my mom's 80th birthday how important it is to share worship together. It would seem that that would be obvious, but it wasn't to me. Her 80th birthday was coming around, and we decided we would surprise her with a gathering of family and close friends, gifts, party, some food together. And she really did love that. But it was on a Saturday, and she invited us, "You know, do you think you guys could stay over and come to church with me?" Well, that church is the Little Baptist Church where my dad was led to the Lord. I saw my mom and dad baptized. I and my siblings were both baptized. We were all married in that church. But as renewal occurred in my worship life, that church has become my worship experience several times removed. After a sojourn among the charismatic part of the church, I just didn't find worship as invigorating back in that little Baptist church as I once did. And then after years worshiping in a sacramental liturgical tradition, it made me feel even farther removed. Whenever I would go back and we would sing those songs that I sang when I was 5, 6, 7 years old, they just didn't ring as true for me. But we did. We went to worship with her, and my sister and her family did not. They decided they needed to head on home, which was a couple hundred miles away. And when I saw the light in my mom's eyes as we went to worship with her primary group of friends, a church where she's been a member for 55, 56 years now, I realized that the gift of worshiping with her on her turf was much more important to her than the party we'd given her, much more important than the gifts we'd given her. And the thing that she cherishes about that gathering is a photograph in front of the altar, the communion table at that Baptist Church with her children and her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren. And we have that opportunity here of bending towards one another in our worship preferences and styles and orientations. What invigorates you as a worshiper may be entirely different than the person to your left or right, or immediately in front of you or immediately behind you. And we have the opportunity of offering that frankincense, that worship that ascends up to the great deity on high and gives us a sense of his nearness when we lean towards one another and worship him in one accord. Incense is also used in the church as an image of prayer. It can be an image of the Holy Spirit. It can suggest prayer. Another way that we can continue to offer that incense that the Magi did and perpetuate that gift is by praying for one another, by petitions, by intercessions. The Apostle Paul said that he never ceased to offer up petitions and intercessions. May we learn to perpetuate that gift of giving by being stimulated by the Holy Spirit to pray for one another ongoingly and to pray for his whole people ongoingly. And then finally, myrrh. Myrrh is mine. Its bitter perfume breathes a life of glittering gloom. You know, myrrh was something used in the burial procedure back then. Strange gift to have given a newborn baby, something to prepare him for his death and to suggest what's coming ahead. We're always tempted to distance ourselves from suffering. It's uncomfortable to visit someone when they're sick. It's uncomfortable to go to a memorial service or a funeral gathering, and it's awkward. We're not sure what to say to the person who is suffering or the person who is dealing with loss. But it's unbelievable what it means. The times in my life when I've had grief, when people have come and shared my grief, whether they said anything or not, just being there, sitting with me, standing with me, not distancing themselves from my suffering and my sorrow, helps me understand the truth of the old adage that a joy shared multiplies and a grief shared diminishes. And if we can share that gift of myrrh by not distancing ourselves from one another's grief or from one another's sorrow, from one another's difficult circumstances, I believe we perpetuate the gifts of the Magi, that myrrh that was given to the Christ child. Inasmuch as we've done it to the least member of his family, the least one of his siblings, the one that seems so unimportant, we have done it unto him. And we have joined in that regal gift-giving of the currency of kings, of the stuff of worship, and the stuff of burial. Griefs diminish, and he makes himself known as we reach out to one another in his name. May the deep peace of the bright and morning star, Jesus Christ himself, shine in your life and be with you always.